Today, for our Bible study, I would highly encourage you to find your Bible this morning and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read for you in the beginning here, Ephesians 1, verse 3, down through verse 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, that is, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, if you would carefully read this chapter, you would see the whole work of the triune God involved in the scheme of our glorious salvation. We see God the Father choosing a people unto salvation in verses 3 through verse 6. We call that the Bible doctrine of election. Paul wrote about that when he wrote to the Thessalonians, and he said, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." We also see the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ in securing the salvation for those for whom God has eternally chosen in that covenant of grace. We read in the book of Hebrews 2, verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." We also see in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and verse 14, we see the Holy Spirit making application to the heart of those chosen and redeemed. It's God who has begun a good work in you. He will apply it. He will finish it. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me," that is, the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ, "he shall receive of mine and show it unto you." Now, one phrase that is constantly repeated through all that God has done for us throughout this chapter that we have just read, a portion of Ephesians 1, we read this phrase three times in verse 6, 12, and 14. Everything God does, he does to the praise of the glory of his grace. God is determined in all that he does to glorify his holy name. All those who believe are also made willing and ready to give God all honor and glory for his great salvation. David said in Psalm 115, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Now, this morning, in the remaining time that we have, I want you to focus on verse 7 for a few moments. Let's read Ephesians 1, verse 7 one more time. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Now, I want to point out to you six glorious facts about the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the first one, the purchaser of redemption. It says here, "in whom we have redemption." Never lose sight of this blessed truth, who died to secure and pay the price and pay the ransom price for God's elect. The Lord Jesus Christ is none other than God himself incarnate, God in human flesh, apart from sin. It's who he is that gives power and effect to what he accomplished. John said, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God bought us with his own blood, Acts 20:28. So we see who does the redeeming. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Secondly, the object of his redemption. It says here, in whom we have redemption. Now listen carefully. Contrary to popular belief of most people, the Bible does not teach universal redemption, universal atonement. That is, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for all men without exception. Now, keeping in the context of this chapter, you can clearly see that Paul is teaching that the Lord Jesus made atonement only for those chosen by the Father in the covenant of grace and given to the Lord Jesus. The Bible does teach a definite atonement and a particular redemption for his elect. Those for whom Christ died will be justified by his blood. His sacrifice does not make salvation a possibility, but rather an absolute certainty for those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ stood as surety and substitute. We read in Matthew 1:21, the message from heaven is, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And that means Savior, "for he shall save his people from their sins." Our Lord said in John 10, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. For the transgression of my people," our Lord said in Isaiah 53, "I'm stricken for their transgression." Particular redemption, definite atonement, that's what Paul is teaching here. Thirdly, the fact of redemption, in whom we have redemption. This sacrifice of Jesus Christ is not without effect and accomplishment. Salvation through his blood sacrifice and atonement for sin enables God to justify the guilty sinner and magnify his justice, magnify his glory, magnify the glory of his grace and the glory of his mercy, the glory of his justice at the same time, in whom we have redemption. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Again, Paul writing to the Romans in Romans 3:25, "In whom God had sent forth to be a propitiation," that's an atonement, a covering, "an atonement for sin through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." The fact of redemption, in whom we have redemption in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the fourth fact of redemption in this verse. The price of redemption. The price of redemption. What was the price that God demanded? His blood. Sin demands an appropriate penalty and price. The wages of sin is death. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's appointed, anointed, and provided Lamb to take away sin, the sin of God's people. John, the prophet of old, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That doesn't mean all without exception, but all without distinction. That is, the Lord Jesus stood to take away the sin of a whole lot of people. John 1:29. This blood sacrifice was offered up to God to make full payment of all his righteous demands. Here's the scripture. Hebrews 9. "But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood." You see, sin demands death. "By his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." The price of redemption, his blood. We're redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Here's the fifth fact of redemption, the results of this glorious redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sin. Now, this is great comfort to those who believe. to those who were guilty, to those who needed atonement. The blood atonement of Christ, Jesus Christ, is all that God requires. This is all that God has provided for our eternal pardon. His blood atonement for sin is so effectual and complete that God says to those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died, their sins are no more. He said in Psalm 103, He has separated them from us as far as the east is from the west. In Hebrews 10:14, For by one offering hath He perfected forever them that are sanctified. Again in Hebrews 10, our Lord said, Their sin and their iniquities will I remember no more. Paul preaching in Acts chapter 13, Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sin because Christ paid our debt. And by Him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now this is good news, my friend. This is comfort to those who are guilty, to those who are sinful. The blood atonement of Christ pays all our sin debt. We have the forgiveness of sins. In the sixth place, we see the cause of redemption. It says here, In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace, that is the cause of redemption. God's grace is the free and sovereign favor of God toward guilty sinners who do not merit anything but wrath. The only reason for grace is found in God Himself. The only reason for grace is grace. John said in John 1:16, Of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. Paul wrote to the Romans and said, Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In whom we have redemption. It all flows from the sovereign purpose and grace of God. That's why the apostle said when he wrote to young Timothy, reminding him of God's saving grace, he said, It's God who saved us and God who called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I pray this message will be a blessing to you, and I would encourage you to get your Bible and read very carefully Ephesians chapter 1 and ask God to teach you the message of His Word that salvation is of the Lord.